Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered, weak and weary, over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, while I nodded, nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping, as of someone gently rapping, rapping at my chamber door.
I'm not even going to swat that fly. I hope they are watching. They'll see. They'll see and they'll know and they'll say, "Why, she wouldn't even harm a fly."
Wait right there, Mr. Bedell.
How do you know my name? I didn't tell you my name.
Hang up.
I didn't tell them my name.
They're all part of it. They're all parts, all of them.
Do you ever wonder about all the different ways of dying? You know, violently. I wonder, like, what would be the most horrible way to die?
It's not my intention to do this in front of you. For that, I'm sorry. You can take my word for it. Your mother had it coming.
Mommy, I want to see the bad man fly.
We better get back, because it'll be dark soon, and they mostly come at night. Mostly.
I just can't take no pleasure in killing.
Just some things you gotta do. Don't mean you have to like it.
Wait a minute. I know who you are. Yeah, but I heard you were dead.
And his eyes have all the seeming of a demon's that is dreaming. And the lamplight o'er him streaming throws his shadow on the floor. And my soul from out that shadow that lies floating on the floor shall be lifted nevermore.
Hello, welcome once again to Dark Discussion Show, a place for the discussion of horror, film, fiction, and all that's fantastic. I'm one of your co-hosts, Philip, from the state of New Hampshire in the U.S. of A., and with me in the state of Michigan.
This is Eric.
Eric, how's it going, my friend?
I'm well.
Excellent, excellent. You said a few disturbing things about your buddy Dan, so I don't know what to think right now.
I do that all the time.
Indeed.
I'm just usually on a different podcast when I do.
That's true. And we'll talk about that podcast at the end of this one. And in the state of New York.
Hi, this is Mike.
Mike, how are you, sir?
I've been better, Phil, but something about last week's podcast made me violently ill. And yet, nevertheless, here I am back this week. So we'll see what happens.
Do you think it was you got sick at that like comedian or whoever you saw that, and you were in the front row?
Median.
Yeah, you went to some show and you were posting all over.
No, I went to the show like in the middle of the sickness, and it was Darlene Love who really, come on.
I don't even know who that
Rock
is.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Look it up. Play some song for your daughters.
Speaking of Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
We now know Mike is the super spreader.
Up. Let's go.
Mike is the super spreader.
No, I thought it was over it.
Oh, jeez.
And then it came
speaking
back.
Speaking of Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I got tickets to Taylor Swift.
You know, Phil, I wrote a song. It's in the vein of the old spirituals. It goes like this. Nobody cares about Taylor Swift. Nobody cares at all.
And yet they cracked Ticketmaster.
Hey, your voice isn't so bad, Eric.
Well, thank you.
Oh, Eric did the monkey song. That was pretty awesome. It ain't no Taylor Swift, but it was pretty awesome.
I don't think Barrett's heard that.
What the fuck is the monkey
the
song?
We did that.
Oh, my God, it's the best.
Monkey song.
Yeah, maybe I'll send you a copy, Barrett.
Yeah, I gotta hear this. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. And in the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Hey, this is Barrett.
Barrett, how's you? How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm on a four-day weekend, so I'm happy.
Oh, so you're taking tomorrow off? I took today off, but I'm back at work tomorrow, which sucks.
Wow. Yeah, you should have taken tomorrow off.
I didn't do it because These are just like extra hours I got to take off or I lose them. And I didn't want to overlap people that are already taking it off. So I'm doing it next Thursday too. So
feels like me. He does what's best for the team. So he gets screwed.
Exactly. Yep. That is true. So Moonwalker and Big Bang are joining up and I'm actually leaving it because I'm going to Mary Lou's team, but that's work related stuff that Barrett and me only understand. Yep. So I'll be doing sequel all the time now. So it'll be interesting.
Oh.
Yeah. I'll be working with Kelly Ridlinger and Marilyn.
That'll be good.
Yeah. They rock. And Mary Lou and Brian Pyle.
Yeah,
all good folk. Anyway, who are we? We are Dark Discussions Podcast, which is www.darkdiscussions.com is the website. It's the website that encompasses all the podcasts on the news network, which is Dark Discussions News Network. Dark Discussions Podcast is the original podcast. It's been around since, I have no idea when, Mike will probably know, but it's been over a decade.
2011.
There you go. We'll be 12 years starting next week because for some folks who are curious, today is December 22nd, 2022 that we're recording this. Some of our listeners like Pam. Hello, Pam. And happy anniversary, Pam and Mike, because they got engaged.
That's tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
And we're going to watch a performance of Great Expectations tomorrow, which I don't know why, because I absolutely hate that story.
Oh, yeah. Pip. Or Pippin or whatever it is. Something like
you that. Know, I read that in high school and remember very little about it. I think I'm okay with that.
I remember the same.
I remember learning what paid by the word means.
Well, we could say this, though. We can say this. It's the same author that wrote A Christmas Story, which is the festive
which
time.
Which is much more brief and filled and far less
and much
miraculous.
Better. It's a much better story, too. Yes. Anyway, it was the best of times and it was the worst of times.
A Tale of Two Cities, right?
That's right. Yeah, another one by Charles Dickens. So Mike will have the best of times tomorrow because it's his anniversary and the worst of times tomorrow because he's forced to see Great Expectations. So there you go.
But it's a one-man show or one-person show with Eddie Izzard. So we're going to see that. We're actually both Eddie Izzard fans. So that's the reason why. We're going there.
I have no idea who that is, but I'm sure he's fine.
Yeah. Well,
oh my God, Phil.
I mean, maybe I do. I just have to look at a picture of him. I don't know. Anyway, back to Dark Discussions. Folks can go to the website, darkdiscussions.com, and you can email us two ways. The first way is just simply typing darkdiscussions@aol.com. Or you can just press the menu link on the darkdiscussions.com website, contact us, and a email box will open up. I have shut off the automatic email generations of the spammers and all that, so you can type whatever you want now in the subject, and we'll know it's from you. We will read your email on the podcast, as long as it's not derogatory, because we've had a few derogatory.
It is filthy as you like.
The logical is
always going to get Phil's attention.
I've deleted a handful that have been crapola. We even got a bad review November 22nd this year, and it ripped me and Eric, but it left Mike and Barrett alone, just saying that you guys were putts, basically. But they ripped me and Eric.
There we go.
Yeah.
Which movie was it for?
Just in general, the podcast in general.
Oh,
and he what? And he's I'll tell you how worthless this guy was, because he says, I don't even believe they have over 550 episodes. It's like, okay.
Literally there to download.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
To the guy who dissed Eric and Phil and kind of left Mike and I alone, fuck you.
Indeed.
I think this is a distinguished gentleman of great taste.
And I did some research. I tried to find the individual, and I think he lives in Jersey. I think he lives in Jersey, and so that's all I have to say.
Well, maybe it was Todd.
No, it wasn't Todd. No. It was a scumbag. Todd's
all right, scumbag. You got to have a thick skin if you if you're a content creator, you got to have thick skin.
I got thick skin. I can still say, fuck you.
That's what I thought.
You should.
That's true. That's what Zeri thought that too.
That was classic.
That was classic.
That was perfectly timed too.
Yes. So, but Eric is right. Yeah, you, and Barrett is right. You have to have a thick skin, and you can still say "fuck you." Yep. So there you go. Eric, besides emailing us and checking out all the stuff on the website, what else can they find out on that website?
Well, they can find a link to our Patreon account. Patreon allows you to financially contribute to online artists like us. Producing this show is not free. We have to pay for things like website hosting and domain names and computer equipment and movie rentals and so on and so forth. So if you would like to help offset the cost of producing this show, that's how you can go do it. You can go to patreon.com/darkdiscussions, or you can click on the Patreon badge on any page at darkdiscussions.com. Any and all contributions are appreciated.
Indeed. And we do plan to do a couple of Patreon episodes in the Q1 of 2023. So that'll be exciting. We have some pretty good films. And what else? Oh, what Dark Discussions is generally, basically we talk about films. So horror, sci-fi, fantasy, thrillers, techno thrillers, mysteries, grindhouse, art house, midnight movies, cult films, foreign language films, drive-in fear, and the like. Basically, we try to talk intelligently about a genre that deserves intelligence. If we do have any news or what we've been watching, so things of interest that the listeners may be curious and want to note down, we'll talk about those at the end of the episode if we have time. But before we do all that, we do have a topic tonight. And Eric, what are we going to discuss tonight?
Tonight, we're going to be talking about a movie currently only available streaming on Paramount Plus, called Significant Other.
Who?
What happened to you?
I don't remember.
Before I knew you, I didn't really know what I wanted in life. And then I met you, and I feel like I'm going somewhere. And I don't even know where, but I just know I want to go there with you.
Are you ready to tell us what happened to you? Were you alone?
I said I don't remember.
I think something's really wrong with her.
What I'm trying to say is, you're my person, Ruth.
What is wrong with you?
I love you, but people change. Someday, I'm gonna change. Maybe you'll love that new version of me. And maybe you won't.
Okay.
It's just, I haven't been feeling like myself. Like myself. Like myself.
Like myself.
That's right. Paramount Plus's film, Significant Other, is a film that was picked up by Paramount even before it was produced, and they released it under their Paramount Players, which is kind of like Goldwyn or, you know, all those artsy-fartsy subcategories of the major company Paramount. The film was released October 7th, 2022. It's a short film, about 84 minutes. Obviously, we don't have any box office because it was a streaming film, Paramount Plus, which is originally known as CBS Now, I think it was, because they're all one giant corporation, basically. The film stars Micah Monroe, who is best known for It Follows. She was the lead actress in that, and she is known as a scream queen. Reviews after watching the film, a lot of the reviews mentioned that she's a well-known scream queen. Also, it stars Jake Lacy of The Office, season 7, I think. So that's the season that most people didn't like. But Jake Lacy was an okay character in the show. Definitely not one of my favorites. Actually, probably one of my least favorite characters because he screwed over Andy. But either way, he's in this film. And as an actor, he's fine. There's a couple other people, but no one of significance. And so it's kind of a rural, middle of nowhere two people movie. So we'll go around and discuss how we heard about this film and what we thought about it. And since Barrett was the one that brought it up, Barrett, how did you hear about this film and what did you think of it?
I kept seeing it advertised on Paramount Plus when I would go to it. So eventually I watched it. And when I watched it, I thought it was perfect for you. So I thought it would be good for Dark Discussions. I like this film. It probably won't make my top 10 this year just because there's a lot of good films this year. But I did really like this film.
All right. Sounds good. Let's go for you, Mike.
Yeah. Phil's been trying to force us to watch this for a few months now. Because it starred a person who was in It Follows, the best movie ever. And I don't remember, and if I knew anything about it, I don't remember if I'd heard about it before it. I just have the echo of Phil pushing it every couple of weeks in the back of my mind. It's not a bad movie. I didn't know what to expect really coming into it. But you had people out in the woods and there were no bears to traumatize Phil. So 0 out of 10. it's a fine film. I don't know where it's going to end up. If it's going to end up on my top list or not, it's not ruled out. It's not ruled in. That gives you an idea, I guess, of how I feel about the film as a whole. It is certainly worth a watch if you don't have anything more compelling to watch, or you just happen to be a fan of people in the woods movies. Certainly better than In the Earth, which was god awful.
All right, sounds good. Let's go for you, Eric.
All right, well, Mike already breached this topic, but I have a grievance to air, which is that this is only available on Paramount Plus, and I was bullied by Phil Perrin into signing up for Paramount Plus, even though I didn't want it. So we could do an episode on this movie. And I think we all know the reason he was pushing it. It's because he's got a boner for Michael Monroe. So, I would like a very specific apology from you, Phil. I will give it to you verbatim. I want you to say to me, Eric, I'm sorry my boner cost you money and caused you mental grievance.
Never apologize for a boner. That's how they get you.
Well, the honest truth is that Jason Lloyd recommended it to me, as did Barrett. So, two people that I respect.
It was your boner.
I'll say this.
Boner Mia, for Jason Lloyd.
Mia is a really good-looking woman, absolutely, and I like her a lot. However, the Grays would be more apt to give me the boner. And this was pretty close to Grays, right?
It's not Grays, though.
I was tricked.
It was the Grays, basically.
It was still your boner.
They just weren't
Gray. The apology still applies.
You know you're not getting that apology, right, Eric?
Well,
they weren't Grays.
Well, let me ask you this, Eric. First, we were apt to switch films before we chose it, but you said, well, you know what, I want to just get rid of HBO anyway and I can switch to Paramount, so why not?
No, I believe what happened is you said, sign up for Paramount Plus or I'm going to come kill your cats.
Never said that. No,
I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
Is that like equals yes?
I don't kill animals, all right?
All right. Well, I'll let it go, but I'm still fucking pissed about it.
No, what was your opinion of the film, though?
My opinion of the film is that it was okay. The people that made it clearly were influenced by James Cameron's work in the early 90s. only don't have a James Cameron budget. So it didn't quite work out as well. It wasn't a horrible movie. But I just thought it was a little, it was okay. I didn't hate it. I didn't love it.
All right. Fair enough. All right. So, for me, like I said, I actually heard about this film through Jason Lloyd about 2 or 3 months ago, because speaking of Mia and boners, Jason Lloyd, most certainly passes that category for her. And,
you should get her name right.
Yeah, I don't even know her name. So it's Micah.
Women have names?
I know the actress, but I'm not like a huge fan like you think I am. But I'm not just a huge fan of It Follows. It Follows was awesome. Now, Jason Lloyd, however, is a huge fan of Micah Monroe, like ridiculous. But he knows I like It Follows, and he knows I like alien films. So he suggested it to me, and I didn't even know it was an alien film. So then Barrett brought it up out of the blue and said, "Oh, Phil, I saw this film. It's really good." And I go, yeah, I heard it's pretty good. And I did, like Mike mentioned, mention it to him a few weeks ago, maybe 4 weeks ago, as a possible topic, because Jason Lloyd recommended it.
Times.
Yeah.
You've done it multiple times this year.
Yeah.
So
I actually went in blind and was actually kind of surprised that it was – an alien film, and as Barrett said, essentially it's The Greys, even though we don't see The Greys. And the first 35 minutes of the film or so is pretty like a really good film. It's really good. The acting's great, and whatnot. And then the second half, it turns into B movie madness. But it's still a good film. So it's kind of like not to compare the films, but the best analogy I can think of is Until Dusk, Till Dawn, or whatever that film's called, where it's like a drama and then it turns into B-movie madness and like two completely different films. And this is kind of like that. And
I don't think this is drastic, but I get your comparison.
Thank you. Good. And, the thing that makes this movie really good, in my opinion, besides the aliens and hiking and all that cool stuff, is the behavioral health individuals, how it affects the lead character, and how the behavioral health individuals of the lead character affect the other character. And so that I could relate to very much so. I've seen it personally.
I understand what you're talking about, but the words that just came out of your mouth probably aren't going to make a whole lot of sense to our listeners.
Right. And that's intentional, because I want to talk about that during the spoiler section. So I'm trying to be as vague and ridiculously sounding as possible. So because of that and the topic of that, The film is really, yes, Siri, I know you don't understand. But yes, I love this film because of that. Now, will it be a top 5 or top 10? Possibly. As Barrett mentioned, this is a really good year for horror films. Not necessarily horror films that will be remembered as classics, but there's a lot of damn good horror films this year. And so our list will be pretty rocking this year when we do our end of year list. And so it'll be hard to fit films. However, this film could fall into the top 10 for me anyway, specifically because of how I could relate to the discussion between the two characters and the behavioral health issues. Never mind, it gets 1 point for having aliens in it. So, it's a good film. With that stated, Eric, do we have a wiki or IMDb?
Wiki. This is – whoever wrote this doesn't understand how sentences are supposed to start. I'm going to read this verbatim. Follows a young couple who take a remote backpacking trip through the Pacific Northwest and face sinister events leading them to realize that everything about the place is not as it seems.
All right. That sounds very vague, but...
Right.
Yeah. One of the reasons.
That's just a really weird way to begin a sentence.
Yeah. And it tells you nothing at all. Yeah. Everything about this film tells you nothing unless you actually watch it. Because if you read that blurb, if you see the poster, I did not see the trailer, so maybe the trailer lets you know. But if you just look at the trailer, I mean the poster, and read the blurb, that doesn't help you at all.
The trailer didn't either, I don't believe, yeah.
I think the trailer leads you to think the Asian guy is the lead.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. So, yeah, so this film is interesting in that aspect where you go in and you won't know anything unless you read the wiki plot description. All right, so what we do here on Dark Discussions, as Eric laughed where I was being weirdly vague, basically what we do before we talk about the film in detail is we just talk about general things, because on Dark Discussions podcast, we don't just review the film as we just did, but we also critique and dissect specific scenes, plot points, what the director and screenwriters are trying to tell us. So we go into spoilers galore. However, we throw out the spoiler alert a little bit later, and that's where my odd comments that made no sense will be discussed. But before that, we just talk about general things. So, for example, things would be like alien movies or rural horror or relationships and how, you know, things like that. So we'll do that, and then we'll throw up the spoiler. And we'll go into anything and everything about the film. Obviously, we did kind of allude already that this is a science fiction and aliens and stuff. But we can start talking about general stuff. So where does this fall for Mia? I keep on screwing up her name. Micah Monroe in her Scream Queen career. Because she's done a lot of horror films. Obviously, this is better than that one we did a couple of years ago. I can't even remember the name of it, but it was where they tried to rob somebody and then the tables were turned and they were the victims. But
there was a period of time where there was about 30 of those movies.
Yes, there was. But that may be
Don't Breathe?
No, it wasn't that one. It was one of those. It was that script that sat for a while. But Villains. It was called Villains.
That's what I just said.
Oh! You did say that. I'm sorry. Eric. I misunderstood you. Yeah, it was Villains. Yeah. So that one was kind of crappy.
So I think her acting job in this was as good as in It Follows. But I don't think the movie was as good as It Follows. So.
Yeah, I've never had any issues with her as an actress. I think she's quite good. I think sometimes she picks projects that are weaker than others.
Yeah.
I mean, and Eric, I'm not sure if you were on that, where he asked for everybody's 200 top horror films of all time list. Yeah. Okay. So I put my list in too, and It Follows was my number one.
That's sad.
No, that movie was so awesome, dude. No film is gonna pass It Follows that she stars in.
You're gonna sit there and try and tell me that It Follows is better than Jaws.
Oh yeah.
I'm sorry, you're trying to tell me it's better than a movie that has both Kurt Russell and Wilford Brimley? No, I don't think so.
Yeah. I mean, those films were on my top 10, I think.
You are a mental health individual.
No. It Follows was just so awesome. Anyway,
it was all right.
Anyway, but either way,
I love just picturing Phil's head about to explode every time.
Yeah, it's close.
sort of like the girl's head in when she hit the telephone pole in Hereditary.
Yeah. Kind of like that. Yeah, but if we go back to this film here. Where do we want to talk about it? Anything general stuff? What do you guys want to talk about?
Well, I'll say I really enjoyed where they shot it. It was shot up in Oregon.
That's right.
And actually back in 2020, I had planned a trip. I was going to fly into Portland and rent a car and drive around to some places in Oregon and Washington and do some hiking up there and meet fellow podcaster Mr. Watson along the way. And then in March of 2020, yeah, that trip.
Yeah.
And don't
but I've been to the Pacific Northwest before, and I think it's a beautiful place, and I want to get back there eventually. So I really enjoyed the scenery in this movie, amongst other things.
I got to agree.
Yeah, go on.
Production values, and, you know, this really is it's a movie that's low budget but doesn't feel it. And I don't know what the actual budget is, but it's all outdoors. It's a cast of two and like a couple of one-day shoots. So, you know, that credit to them, right? It doesn't feel claustrophobic, and they really do get the most they can out of that environment.
Yeah, it actually kind of reminded me of that South African film, Eric, that you recommended a couple of years ago that we did an episode on. And that was the one about, was this like fungus, alien fungus. You know what I'm talking about, Eric?
Off the top of my head.
It's another name for Earth. The name of the
Gaia.
Gaia. Yeah.
That one. Yeah. Okay.
It kind of reminded me of that, where was this national park or you know, local town forest trail type thing, and the couple head out there to do that. One of them is really into hiking, while the other one, unfortunately, has anxiety issues related to sometimes real things and sometimes just imaginary, because honestly, there's probably no reason why you would think she would have anxiety issues to go to the forest, because it has nothing to do with why she has anxieties. But, you know, behavioral health individuals.
Anxiety doesn't follow any rules of life.
Exactly. So even if the triggers you wouldn't expect would cause the anxiety, when you have certain behavioral health issues, these things happen anyway. But either way, I do those type of hikes all the time, and I love those type of hikes. So that was fun to see. And as Eric mentioned, it is a really nice location. Nothing special about it. I've seen many hikes that I've done that are as good as that, but each one is new and interesting. And so it was kind of interesting just to watch them to do that. And they were also camping, which was kind of cool as well. And then the path actually leads right to the Pacific Ocean, where, you get a really cool view of, the cliffs and whatnot around the rocky beaches and stuff. And the thing is that's the reason why some of these hiking trails are really cool, is because they lead to kind of cool things like that. Mm-hmm. So I kind of like that a lot as well, as an aspect of this film. What else did we want to talk about that's general related to that, or just comment on what I just said too?
Well, I think very obviously, the theme of the film is change. And you have basically a character who is afraid of
everything.
Well, afraid of everything, but one of the her fears is that the person that she currently is in love with will change. And she'll change, and they may not be who they are in the future. And that relationship, therefore, may not last. And that's creating a bit of a barrier in that relationship. And, boy, does that prove to be prophetic.
Yes.
repeat that in different terms, Mike. Explain what you mean exactly, because that sounds interesting.
Well, she's afraid of change. She's afraid of the fact that they will grow apart, that they will become different people than who they are now. Yep. And so she's kind of afraid of making a long-term commitment to this relationship.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Oh, go on. Okay. And that's kind of the theme of the film. And they do a good job of doing what, you know, your average metaphorical horror film or episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer does, and turns the real anxiety into a monster.
Right. Yeah, and that's the thing with people that have issues, right? I mean, if you're generally, everybody has issues. Mike, you say it all the time, and that's a fair point. But some people have commitment issues or issues where they can't get close to people or they need the status quo. And why mess up the status quo when everything is fine now? But as you mentioned, Mike, change happens and progression. And obviously the next step, especially for these folk, because we learn that these folk have dated for a good many years now, like ridiculous number of years to the point where –
I think it was like 6 years.
Yeah, exactly, 6 years, where most people who've dated that long after 6 years, they either – are going to be static in that way forever, or one is going to put an ultimatum and say, you know what, I'm just wasting my time and I got to get out of this. Or the third one option would be, I have to talk to my partner and say, what's the deal and where are we going? So the film, yeah, definitely shows two people who are madly in love. But one has behavioral health issues from childhood, which Eric mentioned, the anxiety can be spurned on her even if
it doesn't necessarily make sense. The character in the movie just had some issues even without the anxieties. I can't talk. Regardless of the anxiety, she had issues with commitment anyway because of her parents.
Yep.
So, and it sounded from what transpired in the movie like they had discussed this before and theoretically agreed that they weren't going to discuss marriage because she didn't believe in it. And then stuff happens. So, yeah. One of them said a bunch of stuff they didn't mean.
And Barrett, you were about to add to that.
Well, I mean, it's just, you know, as expected, there's always one person that's more invested than the other, and she has this issue because of her parents. So, you know, yeah, change is going to happen whether you like it or not, and that change is what starts in these woods.
Now, if I could add to your comment, Barrett, which is one may be more invested than the other. In this situation, I think both are equally invested. It's just that one has these personal demons or inner demons because of her childhood and her parents. Am I right to say that, Barrett?
I think that makes her less invested. You know what I mean? That issue that she has because of her parents causes her to not want to get as close as she could, whereas he already feels that way and is ready to get married.
Gotcha. So you're saying the mental illness.
I consider it a mental illness.
What let me rephrase. Behavioral health.
Not a mental illness.
What's that, Eric?
Fear of commitment is not a mental illness.
Well, let me rephrase. The behavioral health issues she has because of her personal demons and inner demons from her childhood are enough to make her not as invested as, say, she probably would be if she didn't have those personal demons. Am I right to say that?
I don't know if her commitment issues are at all related to her mental health issues. I think they're two different things.
But when the engagement is asked, mm-hmm. she has her that anxiety issue and has to take the pill. So most people don't have anxiety issues and don't have to take pills for such a thing. Mm-hmm. So and I'm not saying behavioral health is a negative term, because technically, as Mike always says, everybody has their issues.
But if she has to take the pill and she has this like anxiety attack where they really show it really cool with the camera, the vertigo stuff that we've seen with films like Alfred Hitchcock's Vertigo and Darren Aronofsky's Requiem for a Dream, you could tell that her mental health is kind of, I guess, being pulled in various ways. And so she has to take the pill.
But she's responding badly because of her mental health issues. But if she had issues with public speaking, it would also reflect itself in a unhealthy way too, right? It's just we all have issues, and then you throw the anxiety issues make those things worse. She reacts to them badly in a manner that's crippling, and that's the difference here. Is that she probably was going to have anxiety issues in her life regardless. And her family history has maybe made it worse. And then it may be particularly sensitive to this one issue, where this is just one of the things that she's got a particular issue with because of that family history. But it's not like the fact that the parents had a failed relationship is what caused her to have anxiety.
Okay. However, there's a chance that she has anxiety because of that. Right.
Yeah, we don't know why she has anxiety.
Right.
I think that's Hollywood psychology, where you find like a single, like people who have these issues, and they try to find like the Dexter. Oh, because he was kidnapped when he was a child and saw somebody killed with a chainsaw or whatever it was. That's why he became a serial killer. Nah, it's usually not how that works. Lots of people see their family killed by chainsaws. They don't grow up to be serial killers.
Well, that's fair, Mike. A lot of people have seen their families get killed by chainsaws. However,
most of them in Colombia.
I think those aspects of her childhood can cause a lot of issues with your a person's brain, right? I mean, the brain, as we know, they're not fully developed until you're like 26, I think. So when you've had trauma, as she has, and a lot of it isn't just because her parents – were divorced or she got picked on at school or something. I mean, based off of what we learn later in the film, it seems like it was pretty bad. I could think that with a hypothetical guess that a lot of her problems, including anxiety, are related to that. But as Barrett said,
I don't understand why this is so important to you and why you're trying to drive this poem home for so long.
Well, you're right, but again, this film is similar to that Blake Lively shark film where her personal demons from her past were the main aspect of the film, and I feel that her childhood is the main aspect of the film, in a sense.
I think if that were true, we'd know more about it.
Right, and they also, like, she's got anxiety about going through this hike in the woods. I don't think that has anything to do with the parents. She has anxiety issues. The parent issues is a relationship issue that she's particularly attuned to, just like anybody might in that particular circumstance. And then because she has the anxiety issues, it's that much worse for her when that happens.
Yeah. Right. I would agree with that.
It becomes crippling.
But I will have to agree with what Barrett said too, which is, we don't know if her anxiety issues were created because of what happened from her childhood. We just don't know. So it could be either, but you're right. It's a point that, as Eric even mentioned, isn't probably worth arguing, maybe, right? Because if it was that important, they would have came right out and said, the reason I have these anxiety issues is because of the first
flashbacks. Right,
when it comes right down to it, anxiety doesn't have rules. It's not like there are certain circumstances under which she would be guaranteed to never have an anxiety attack. They just happen sometimes, and stress is a trigger, and being unexpectedly proposed to could be a source of stress. I think that's a huge
source of stress.
Yeah, and I guess what I'm saying is, a person who's had a horrible childhood may be more apt to fall into these other issues that pop up versus, say, someone that didn't have a horrible childhood, who is more adjusted and may not be apt to have anxiety attacks.
I mean, but that makes sense, but I don't have training.
Right. And again, we don't learn enough in this film to know. So either way, that's some of things that were interesting, I felt, about the character and the issues that we learn in the film and whatnot. Let's see, anything else general stuff that we want to talk about that are not spoilery, or do we want to get into spoilers? Anyone?
I think we can get into spoilers. We've kind of been leaning on spoilers almost, so.
Sure. All right. Well, either way, just a setup. We learn right away this is science fiction, alien type film. Basically, there's a meteor we see falling onto into the forest in Oregon. And something comes out of the meteor, like a tentacle type creature, and it attacks a deer, and then it goes to black, and the credits come, and then we meet the two lead characters who coincidentally are heading to the same forest that the meteor crashed in. So that's pretty much the setup. We'll throw up the spoiler alert at this point. So at this point, we will talk about anything and everything related to the film. If you haven't seen the film and you don't want to have it spoiled, you can go watch it on Paramount Plus, which is the only place you can watch it at the moment, to my knowledge. I don't believe
you can rent it. And if you don't, Phil will come to your house and kill your cats.
No, not at all. Not at all. I'm not Cluster B. I'm not Cluster B.
You keep saying that. I think thou dost protest too much.
Yeah. Anyway, so we'll throw up the spoiler alert. So at this point, we'll talk about everything and anything about the film, including spoilers, the ending, and the twists. All right, so where do we want to begin? Who wants to start? Anybody?
Well, we can start with they go into the woods for, a vacation. I don't know what you would call it, but they're hiking in the woods. And they go in there and set up camp and are spending time together. And they seem to be having an okay time. She does a pretty good job emoting her almost indifference. I don't know how to explain how I felt about the character. She just seems very monotone. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll add to that, Barrett. Basically, the trip obviously was set up by Harry. Harry and Ruth are the two characters. So he's all excited. This is something that I assume he does a lot, probably not with her, because as we discover, she has an anxiety attack about going into the woods, whether it's worrying about getting lost or animal attacks or people attacks or whatever. But Harry is really into it. So I think Ruth agreed to do it because, you know, when you date someone, especially for 6 years, you compromise. She wants to do her surfing trips, right? She's big into surfing, we learn. And Harry appears to go along with her on those things and vice versa. And Harry has an interesting little setup here because not only does he like this type of activity, but he knows that she would really like where this trail leads to, which is the Pacific Ocean. And as a surfer, she would appreciate that. But he also has an ulterior motive as well, which is he plans to ask for her hand in marriage. So that's pretty much the setup, right there, Barrett?
Yeah, but it takes a long time to get to that marriage proposal. It's a slow burn to get there. And once you get there, then everything turns. She becomes more cold, distant. Yeah, distant, and she just kind of disappears, and it just didn't work out very well for him. I would not want to be in that position.
Right.
Awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in her defense, I mean, besides the fact that she's a you know, she's got her behavioral health problems, and I think anyone of us who's been in a long-term relationship, we all, like Bill said, I often say, we all have our own issues. Maybe not clinically diagnosable behavioral health issues where they affect your day-to-day life, but we know our partners have things that we just have to accept and deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got some emotional issues. She makes it a little odd. She's kind of an eccentric person. She can be a little hard to read. You know, when we first meet her, she's like trying to memorize a book on plant identification. And I think it's, to me, that's clear. That's like a way of her coping with her anxiety and trying to get control over, you know, the uncontrollable situation. Right. That she can't control what happens on this hike. But hey, maybe she can understand all the different bears that are going to try to eat her. Then she won't be able to be quite paralyzed by it. She'll be able to handle that anxiety. At least that's kind of my take. But she is blindsided by the proposal. I think she does a good job of showing us that, the actress.
Mm-hmm.
Like when it's clear to everybody watching the movie that the fucker's about to propose, because he drags her out to this beautiful vista overlooking the Pacific Ocean on a cliff. And he starts talking about, when I first met you 6 years ago, it's like, oh shit, I've seen this movie.
Right.
Well, and I do kind of, I blame him for this. However, he's probably at that point where he is going to shit or get off the pot. You know, it's like, he's going to move on if, but he expects it to turn out, which is where he's dumb.
Right. And hey, you know, we all have our blind spots too, right? That's, yep. That's another aspect of this, because you look, again, you have to have these conversations when you're in a relationship, and they had that conversation and he knew where she stood. And if you're going to want to change the status quo of the contractual agreement, maybe you need to have another conversation, right? You don't just go in and tear the contract up. Well, and that's basically what he did.
Well, did you think he was that clueless?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so, all right. So him being clueless isn't necessarily his fault then.
But it's also a good thing for the relationship if he's that clueless.
Right. It doesn't take, it doesn't take the fault away from him that he's an idiot or that clueless, or that lacking an awareness of his partner's needs. By this point, he should have been aware that she doesn't handle things like change very well. He understands his problems are problems with her family, why she doesn't like marriage. Nothing new, nothing changed, and you're not going to want to spring that on her unless, you know, you've had this conversation, and he clearly hadn't.
I mean,
and that was a mistake. I'm not saying it's an unforgivable mistake. You know, they clearly moved past this, well, kind of, in the story.
I think, at least to me, it seemed clear that they had definitely had a conversation about it in the past. Yes. And she'd been like, look, no, I'm not into the whole marriage thing. We're not doing that because yada, yada. And he was like, okay. And
but he ignored it, right?
To me, it seems like a really bad idea. Unless you've had another conversation where she's like, well, maybe I could change my mind about that. Unless that conversation happens, proposing is a very bad idea.
Surprise proposing.
Right. So if you have a relationship and you have a conversation early on, say, well, you know, I don't want to have kids. Okay. I understand. I don't want to have kids either. And then you change your mind or you say, I'm okay not having kids. You don't, that conversation is not, unless it's specifically stated, I don't want to have kids right now. You don't just suddenly say, okay, hey, now that we're in a relationship and we're settled and we're married, let's talk about having kids again. No. No. That again, is not a thing that you expect to change. Certainly not. Unless, you know, the partner who's kind of put that condition on that relationship is the one that brings it up.
All right. Well,
they'll let you know if they change their mind.
Well, maybe she, we don't learn enough. Maybe she doesn't, she always says, I don't want to talk about it or whatever. So for him to do this.
Well, clearly she's not ready to change.
This is my point. So for him to ask her, and if she says no, this is his chance to say, okay, now I can move on.
No, okay, so we have several problems with that thought line. First, he knows that she has these anxiety issues. He says it a lot, and he doesn't seem to take enough account of them. We know that they've had conversations about not getting married, and I don't think that he thinks her mind has changed there. So coming to her with the surprise of a ring, it's different having a conversation about could we get married and having a ring and popping down on one knee and showing the ring. That's a whole different conversation.
All right, ambushing somebody in the middle of the woods where they're already in a feeling vulnerable, that's kind of an ambush.
All right, then the problem is he's an idiot because he's dating a damaged, fucked up woman, and he should be wasting his time.
Well, he might be wasting his time. I don't know that it's bad for him to be dating her. If he can't accept those things about her, then he does need to move on. And it seems that he does not respect those things as much as he should for how long they've been going out.
Well, and that's where I think he's wasting his time because I don't think it has anything to do with him disrespecting those things. What it is
he's tired of waiting.
Yeah, exactly. he should have put an ultimatum on like most people do.
It seemed like their conversation had led to the agreement they were going to continue this relationship. In an unmarried state.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't
know. Did he lie to her? Because he should have said.
Yeah, he lied to her because he was okay with that and he wasn't.
Or he thought she would change. Lied.
Maybe 6 years ago he was okay with it. Maybe
he didn't find out, Mike. There was a line in the movie where she was like, you told me you were okay with it. And he was like, well, yeah, because I didn't want to scare you away.
Right.
Right. Okay. Good point. And a lot of us do that. I mean, a lot of us have done that.
Yeah, absolutely. We have. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I felt that way too in a relationship.
But if you did not feel that way and you lied about it, I think you need to reveal that before you go and propose.
Well, and I think some people lie to themselves about it. You know, oh, okay, I think I'll be okay with this. I really like this person, so I want to stay with them.
True.
And then as time goes by, you're like, wait a second, maybe I'm not okay with this. And, you know, I mean, it's just one of those things where people do stupid things to stay in relationships, like not breaking up with someone when you should.
Right. And so I don't think that she's wrong for not wanting to get married. I don't think that he's wrong for wanting to get married.
Exactly.
I think the way everything went down was stupid and didn't need to be as bad as it was.
And it was basically just his lack of emotional awareness here.
Yeah. I think the problem is he should have got out of that relationship after 2 years.
We know you like to blame everything on the woman, Phil.
No, I don't. I blame it on him because he wasted six years of his life. Exactly.
He made that choice.
Exactly. And he could have said to himself, if this isn't going to be what a normal relationship should be, which is you date and then you – if you like each other that much where you want to be together, the next step is you get married. And if she's
I want to protest against the classification of normal on that.
Right. I don't say that's normal. That's just common. What he wants. Yeah. It's what he wants.
Okay. That's fine. So in his eyes, which is his normal, not everybody's, but his normal is that you date somebody. You love that person. That person loves you. Mm-hmm. The next step you would think is, okay, that means we're probably best friends. So maybe we get married and we have kids and we live happily ever after. Now that doesn't mean you can't live happily ever after and have kids in these other relationship formats. However, that's not what he wants, right? So,
I agree that if he wasn't on board, perhaps that decision should have been made a while ago.
Yeah, but never propose in the woods in a place she's uncomfortable. That's where I think all of the weight goes onto him.
Well, not necessarily, Barrett. If you're right, based off of what he knows of her, I concur. However, even if that it's an uncomfortable place for a person that doesn't have, I guess, her personality. they probably would have been all happy and said yes. But with her type of personality, it probably may not have been the right place to do it. But to be honest,
the only point I've been trying to make throughout this whole thing is that in that situation, after the discussions they would have, he had no right to expect her to say yes.
Right. Or to react well.
To be honest, he should have dumped her 4 years earlier.
Not necessarily. If you were never going to find, then maybe yes.
You were never going to find
all he ever wants and has no compromise, then maybe he should have ended it a while ago. Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't call it even a compromise. It's just his goals, which is different.
Hello?
Hello?
Okay. You were never going to find a partner for whom you were 100% in agreement with everything. There are always compromises. Yep. This is a compromise. They're still together. They may not have a piece of paper. And I will say, I'm sorry, that's normal for them to get married. Most couples, that's what happens. That's what defines normal. It doesn't mean it's right for you, but it is still normal. But if that's a thing that she can't do, you can still have a good relationship going forward. And you can decide that, okay, it's not what I want the most, but I'll settle for it, because you can get a whole lot of other things in that area too. And I think it's perfectly fine. You don't have to just say whether we get married or we ghost. There will be some things that are make or break. And I don't know if this is make or break for this guy. Clearly he still seems to be okay sticking with this relationship after this fight. So I don't think it's a make or break point. I don't think he needed a dumper 2 years ago. I think he needed to have this conversation, which he didn't, because he's a dude, and dudes do not have that same sort of emotional awareness and that emotional EQ to necessarily realize that a lot of times. And so he was a bit of a dumbass, and it made an awkward situation. That timing made it even worse. If you had done this, at home, at the apartment, way different story.
At a surfing event.
Or like at the other local favorite restaurant, it might have made it a little bit of an awkward moment. Here it's just he put her in his environment, in his place, kind of cornered her against the cliff, and that just made it worse. So I think we're jumping way too far and making some very broad and grand statements here about who they should have, what they shouldn't have done.
I don't agree with it either, because it looks like he's compromised way more than she's ever compromised.
And congratulations, that's what's happened in many relationships, is very rarely do people compromise equally.
Right. And as a result,
some people have more issues than others, and you have to compromise
beyond in all that circumstance. Beyond all compromising, I still think that when he took her out there to propose, he caused a major issue.
And he did.
Right.
He absolutely did. And it's all, said from the beginning, that's his fault. That's his responsibility. He made the mistake. But the alternative
I think his responsibility was he wasted 6 years when he could have said, okay, if this isn't progressing.
It doesn't matter now.
Right. It does not. It does not. Because everybody dies anyway. But all in all, I don't feel he's any more at fault than she is, as what I think
she's clear cut with him. This has been established,
right? And his fault. His fault was she didn't change exactly. So he had other goals in his life, and if she wasn't going to go with those goals, he could have probably did a mental, time frame, and at that end of that time frame, move on, and that's what he should have done. And that's my opinion.
Reevaluate if it was a thing he could live with.
I don't think it was. I think
he was perfectly capable of doing it.
I don't think he was, and that's why he finally, after 6 years, decided I'm going to ask her to marry me.
I don't have an opinion anymore. I sped my piece.
I'd like to move on.
Yeah. We can move on. We can move on. Because everybody seems to have different opinions on how these things work, which is fine. All right, so let's move on. So after all that, she goes into the woods to try to recover from her shock and, I guess, anxiety, takes her medication that helps, and she finds a cave. And so the cave, she goes in and she finds this blue liquid, which is obviously some sort of excrement from the alien that we know is in the woods.
And she turns around. We don't know at that point. First?
I'm sorry?
Don't they find the deer first?
They do. Yes. They do. Yes. Yeah.
That freaks her out. That freaks her out.
It's an important moment because it explains what the sequence of things. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a fair point. Yeah. So they find a dead deer that's covered with all this fungus. That's kind of gross. And she wonders if it's the same deer they had seen earlier in the day. And he says no, which makes sense because I think this deer got wiped out a while ago.
But we know it is. It totally is.
Yeah, we do. So obviously.
And how would he know? He didn't even see the damn deer.
right. But I mean, the fungus wouldn't have grown that in 24. I mean, a normal fungus, let me rephrase.
Yeah, normal.
Would not have grown that quickly since the time frame that she saw the deer. So in this cave, I'm just making an assumption, Barrett, right? Because we obviously, you don't usually find blue liquid that's gooey in nature. So I'm assuming it's alien excrement or something. And she turns around.
Got poop issues, he's going to assume it's poop.
But see, I wasn't assuming alien anything at that point when I was watching it because I had no expectation of aliens. So.
Well, the reason I was, Barrett, and I'll tell you why, was because in the pre-credits scene, we saw the tentacle creature.
Right.
And he's coming to fall to Earth.
And the kid at the restaurant saying, did you see the red star fall?
Yeah, because the first thing I watched at lunchtime, I watched the first 5 minutes, and I immediately emailed Barrett saying, oh, my God, this movie's The Grays.
So, Bill, how many times have we told you not to do that?
I know.
It's never The Grays.
I know. It should
be. There's no anal probes. There's no abductions. It's a body snatcher film.
So, right. It is a body snatcher film. So she turns around, and she shrieks, and then they cut to black. And this is where we assume she's been possessed by the alien.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what I thought.
Well, I think that's an intentional mislead.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. This is where a spoiler is. Yes, a mislead. Right. Right. So she gets found again by him, and she's acting really weird, like zombified. So I'm assuming she's the alien. She says, let's do the marriage proposal again. I'm up for it. And he's all excited. So he brings her to the same location right on the cliff. Looking over the
before they revealed what's going on, I knew he was going off that cliff.
So did I, yes.
Yeah. And sure enough, she pushes him off the cliff.
That surprised me. I was not expecting that. I mean, like,
yeah.
I thought he was going to die off the cliff, but I wasn't expecting her to push him like that.
Oh, I was. It was her idea to go up there. I was like, oh, she's going off
him. Yeah. And so that's like, okay, that makes sense to me because she's the alien.
Right.
Where do we want to go from here? What do we want to talk about? Who wants to talk about the twist?
Well, I mean, she pushes him off the cliff, and we get a pretty definitive shot of him hitting the rocks at the bottom. It was kind of gruesome. I liked it. So she takes off, and we think, oh, she's the bad alien, and she's on the loose now. And she runs across another couple in the woods.
Well, they find her, right? Because she falls and cracks her head.
Yep.
Well, I can't remember what happens between her leaving and between them finding her. Like, I don't remember how she ended up unconscious, do you?
Yeah, I forget how she
falls. I think she tripped on something and then it hits her head as she falls.
Okay.
Right.
So this couple finds her in the woods and is like, what happened? And she's like, I don't remember. And so she's at their campsite. And then all of a sudden, her boyfriend shows back up. It's like, wait, what? We saw him hit the rocks. What?
Yeah.
Right. Well, also,
maybe she was just seeing that at first, you know, like he was in her mind.
Also the couple that finds her, I felt they thought she, because the questions they ask, are you running away from someone or whatever, that she was a domestic abuse victim or a violently assaulted victim of somebody. Mm-hmm. And so when he shows up, that since they're already on board that he may be – she's running away from somebody. Mm-hmm. And she starts freaking out when she sees him because, yeah, anybody would freak out when she sees him because we know he fell off a cliff and splattered. Yeah. There, specifically the man – is like, you know, hey, buddy, you gotta, you know, stay away, you know, whatever. And then we find out that he's an alien now. Like, we're 100% sure he's the alien that we saw from earlier. Because he can protrude shit from his fingers and.
Yeah, and that's where my comment about James Cameron came from, is because clearly that was influenced by T2.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay. Yep. So, yeah, this guy, Jake, I mean, Harry, the actor's name, the character's name, Harry, he wipes out the guy. He kills that guy. He cuts his head in half and all that. And then he kills the woman as well, the guy's wife. And then he wants to kill Ruth as well. But she says, please don't. And he stops, and he doesn't understand why. And this is when the movie goes into B territory, because he starts arguing with himself, and he's talking in English instead of like – and then – but they do give us – I got to give him credit, because at least they wrote in the screenplay, he goes – the character goes, why am I saying this out loud and to you? You know, you know, because otherwise – because obviously it's exposition moments, and as an alien, why would he be doing it? So for them to add that to the screenplay, I felt helped us and made me go, okay, at least they did that. And what happens is he begins to – when he kills the body snatcher, as you said, Mike, takes over the person because the alien took over this character, Harry. The alien – becomes him, but he also becomes him, and he inherits all his emotions and thoughts as well. And what happens is he inherited the love that Harry had for Ruth.
Right.
And so he can't kill Ruth because Harry would never kill Ruth or even hurt Ruth because he's a good man. And so the alien accepts that and says, yeah, I can't kill her. I can't kill you because I feel this emotion, which no other creature I've ever taken over, because I've done this many times because I'm a scout that comes to these planets to wipe out the, you know, do an invasion. And this is the first type of creature, a human, that has an emotion where they actually have emotions. They're not like just blank creatures that do things. They actually have thoughts and feelings and whatever. And so he can't understand it, but he kind of likes it. And so he starts saying, you know, me and you, Ruth, should still be lovers and love each other, because even though I'm a replica, I still love you. And then he asks, how did you find out that I was not really Harry? And then we see the flashback of her when she turns around in the cave. We see Harry in like a cocoon from Alien, you know, like Dallas and Brett. Mm-hmm. And how he obviously replaced them.
And his head sliced in half.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Harry's head sliced in half.
That's a pretty key thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which is probably good because at least he didn't suffer like Brett and Dallas did.
Which I should point out is also kind of a flip to the, I guess, the body snatcher trope, which is usually finding the alien body forming, right? The replicant body.
Hmm. Right, right.
Right, is the greenhouse scene in Invasion of Body Snatchers, literally.
Yeah, we didn't get to see any transformation in this movie.
No, because it is basically low budget. I should point out, I didn't thought it was interesting, this whole thing, it is pretty much the halfway point of the film, right? It is where the action happens. So when Phil talked about the movie changing midway, it is almost exactly the midway point. And I think the shove is might be, I think, what happens at the exact midpoint. Either the shove or the reveal that it, that he was the alien and not her.
Right, right.
So yeah, it is very much 2 45-minute films instead of 1 90-minute film in a lot of ways.
I agree.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it literally the shift and tone is completely different. Similar to that's why I use the analogy of until Dusk Till Dawn, because that shift was like so obvious. Obviously, this film is a completely different film, but the film turns it, like you said, specifically, Mike, that was an excellent point, which is the film is like two different films at that midpoint, right?
Well, and this was written and directed by two people.
That is true.
So it could be that like one had the one idea and one had the other idea, and they were like, well, let's put them together, like chocolate and peanut butter.
Yeah,
it's possible. I think they got together beforehand and they agreed to make one movie, and then it turned out one partner decided they really didn't want to make that one movie they agreed to do, and so they're going to go make a different movie afterwards. And then the whole relationship just fell apart.
It's possible, yeah. Yeah. Makes sense.
Anywho.
Yeah. So, where do we want to go from here? The big reveal is that I keep on saying the X name. Harry is actually the alien, not her.
Oh, and he offs the nice camping couple that was trying to help her.
Oh, you know they were gonna abduct her and sell her on a some sort of sex slave trade thing. They weren't nice, you know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that is true. Probably so.
Drop that SUV off at a chop shop somewhere. Never be heard from again. It's like, woohoo, bonus came early this time this year.
Anyway, to be more serious again. now the film is really about how Harry, let me rephrase, faux Harry, is trying to follow his human instincts that he inherited by absorbing Harry and trying to have Ruth be his girlfriend, and how he loves her and wants to, be friends, and like you usually are with the person you date, but and she has to fake it because obviously she's not going to be on board with a faux Harry, and so she's now just faking it so she can either plan her escape or have him offed for real. Unfortunately, it appears that this alien is similar to the Thing alien from the Kurt Russell film, as Mike mentioned earlier, where the creature, if isn't multiple organisms, each cell is its own organism, the creature is at the very least regeneration, where you can stab it, you can have it get bit by a shark or a bear or whatever, and it's not going to die because
there wasn't any bears in this movie, Phil.
I had to throw bears under the bus. I had to do it. But anyway, so where do we want to go? I guess it's really a cat and mouse, because it's not like one person's running away and they're looking for him. But it's a cat and mouse, a weird cat and mouse in the sense that the alien is trying to get her to be his mate and take her back.
Spaceship.
Yeah, exactly. And her goal is to fake it so she can just try to escape. So where do we want to go? Who wants to discuss this part?
I mean, they go to the beach. There's a spaceship. She tries to run away into the ocean. He follows her. A shark attacks him, and she escapes.
But it's not even that. She makes sure she stabs him so he will bleed, so the shark would be attracted to him when she does run into the ocean.
That's a hell of a gamble.
It is a hell of a gamble. Yeah.
They did mention sharks earlier in the movie, though.
Yes. Right. And, oh, they were totally Chekhov sharks.
Yeah.
And we did see the shark fin when she gets the idea. But yeah, that was the real reason she stabbed him, Eric, was so he would bleed. So when the shark attacks, it would go after
him. I didn't put that together. Cool.
Yeah. So it was pretty cool.
Well, that was my first thought, was like, how did she know the shark's going to choose the right one? I thought, okay. Or even show up. And because they made this, because as we all know, the sharks are just so densely packed on the Pacific coast, like you can't set foot in the water for even a moment before they show up. And it's like, well, how do they know? And then they realize, yeah, the blood. There was blood.
Spot screenwriters. Water.
I mean, it's enough to give it, I would say, the well, not plausible deniability. What do you call suspension of disbelief? It was close enough, right? It's going just because you have an alien bloody chest wound doesn't mean you're going to suddenly be surrounded by sharks and swallowed in 3 seconds, jumping into the ocean. But they did kind of set it up and justify it, so I'll give it to them.
Well, and to be honest, to be fair to her and to the screenwriters and the character is, you know, is worth taking a chance getting eaten by a shark versus being taken away by an alien creature that killed your lover.
Well, and here's the thing. I would find it less easy to forgive if it worked, meaning if this was like – and everything was peaceful thereafter. If this was like the final resolution to the film. But it wasn't, you know, so spoiler warning, that this is just a stopgap as the story continues.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah, because we still got another like 18 minutes to the film or something like that. All right. So, he finally finds her in the woods when she escapes after he gets.
First, he has to deal with the shark. I gotta say, I actually laughed out loud when he was walking out the ocean and he drops half a shark head. For some reason, I thought that was so funny. It's just like, all right, guess he dealt with the shark.
Well, he's got some kind of ability to like stretch his form into weapons and stuff.
Right, yeah.
Or at least his finger into a knife.
Yeah. Right,
which made me wonder, what was he stretching when he was the deer?
Oh, my. Stop talking about his tail like that.
I wasn't trying to go anywhere perverted, so.
Oh, I find that highly dubious.
Yeah, it is you, Mike. It is.
Mike saying that is definitely highly dubious.
Yes.
So does he catch her in the woods again?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Yeah, and he clubs her, knocks her out with a rock or a stick.
Ultimately, I don't. God, it's all.
Well, she escapes because he's getting bit by a shark, right? So that's why she runs into the forest. Mm-hmm. And when he gets out, he finds her somehow. You know, I mean.
Just like every movie, coincidentally.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Needle in a haystack. And she wakes up after being knocked out.
The scene in the cave, right. Okay.
Yeah, so she's being cocooned by him, and that's not good because that means she's going to be turned into an alien. So he decides that he wants to absorb her if he can't love her. And so he's going to switch from Harry to become Ruth. And the big twist is she has something that can take him out, which is her personal demons. And
he's absorbing her. He also absorbs her anxiety, and she uses it against him.
Yeah, but not even anxiety, because because the things that set off her anxiety are her personal demons, right? Because she starts talking about and he starts talking about, or she now, because she's the alien is now her, it's a clone of her, starts talking about, oh my God, your life as a child and all the things that haunt you every day of your life. Mm-hmm. And then she's smart enough to say, oh, I can use these against him. So she starts talking about them to set off one of her anxiety attacks, which is meaning her clone will get an anxiety attack because
he already took the last pill.
What's that again? Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, right, because she dropped them all in the forest, her pills. So the creature is thinking about all her issues from childhood, and she sets off the anxiety attack because of those issues. And as a result, the creature falls to the ground with those anxiety issues without any pills to help her. And so while that's happening, she breaks out of the cocoon and goes over and smashes her head, her clone's head, the alien's head, with a rock, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, that allows her to escape, and she gets back to the forest, to her car, and to the campground, gets the keys, and runs back to the car, and drives off. But as we see when they go back to the cave, the alien's head begins to reform as her clone.
Being pushed off a cliff and being eaten by a shark. So
yeah, exactly. A rock to the head isn't gonna matter, even if it is crushes the head. So we think she's escaped, and then the alien contacts her through Bluetooth, through the radio.
That was the one part of the movie I was just like, ah, go fuck yourself, that's stupid.
Yeah, it's,
aliens can't have Bluetooth?
Not in her head, no.
Anyway,
I'm not entirely sure if this alien, it was even, I don't want to say human, was actually like the alien or like an alien construct or like a probe. I am still curious about that.
Yeah, like or robotic, maybe. Maybe. Techno-organic. Yeah, techno-organic. I was thinking the same thing. Especially since the little finger thing reminded me of the Terminator.
Right. And it just took a licking and kept on ticking. Like a Timex.
So, yeah, the Bluetooth, basically, she talks through, meaning the clone, talks through the radio to her, saying stuff like,
you can't get away.
Yeah, you can't get away. And then we find out the big ending, which we've seen in a lot of films recently, where the apocalypse is about to happen, and hundreds of meteors are now flying down to Earth. So she got away, but she didn't really get away. She's done, because everybody's done.
The whole planet's doomed.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's the ending right there. That's it.
That's it.
So what do you guys think of that ending? Besides the, Eric, you know, with the Bluetooth thing, what do you think of the end of the world type of thing?
I mean, whatever.
I was thinking, thank God for engaged with
this movie. So like, I was just like happy that it was done.
All right. Fair enough. Barrett, what was your thoughts about the ending?
Oh, I thought it was okay. I mean, it wasn't, like I said, I liked the film. It's probably not going to hit my top 10, but I liked it. I thought it was fairly good. But the end was the end, you know. I don't know. I'd have been okay with it ending earlier and not seeing that.
I was thinking that was the best thing that could happen to her. No, okay, seriously. So here you have a, as some people might say, a behavioral health individual.
That's true.
Who is coming out of the woods having and has to explain how their murdered significant other was murdered by an alien creature that also happened to kill the other two hikers in the woods. And you're here to stop them from, right, she's got to basically go Kevin McCarthy at the end of Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Don't think that's going well for her if the aliens don't actually come out and invade, which basically bails her out.
Right. Well, and also, Mike, to be honest, I mean, losing her partner of 6 years the way she did isn't going to help someone with behavioral health issues in the first place. No. So, and it being supernatural in a sense, meaning aliens. Yeah, she's all effed up. I don't think she's going to survive. Even if the aliens didn't invade, I don't think she was going to survive anyway. But that's just my opinion.
Of course, now I'm realizing that this alien invasion is going to give everybody an out. It's like, no, it wasn't me. It was the aliens. It wasn't me. That was an alien imposter. I didn't go to Epstein Island. It was an alien impersonating me that went to Epstein Island. So it's going to be a tricky situation legally. If you're in law enforcement, good luck.
Yeah. Yep. All right. So what else do we want to talk about that was maybe on someone's list that we haven't got to yet? Anything?
I'm good.
Barry? Yeah,
I'm good.
Mike?
Yeah, I'm good. I don't know. I don't think the movie's not long. It's under 90 minutes.
Sure. Yeah.
And you take credits out, it's probably closer to like 78. But it at the same time, I do feel like it may have been a little padded in order to get it to a theatrical kind of window where it's a movie as opposed to a short. But I feel like they kind of made their point, and but they just kept running with it. By no means was it like a painfully bad thing. It's because it's already a short film. It wasn't like it wore out its welcome. It's a fine film. It's not doing a lot that we haven't seen before, but I thought it was an interesting approach, right? Because most of the time with these body snatcher films, it is the idea that the body snatchers have no emotion. I thought it was an interesting twist to have the body snatcher kind of converted to humanity because they love the idea of love and love being a such a human emotion. And but also the idea of love being a thing where you want to be not become, but join with two souls wanting to become one. And because of the nature of this creature's existence, it can do that. It can become the thing it loves, which is weird. And but it should have been done that in the first place and then gone off to live happily ever after.
Yeah, that's a fair point, because they do, the alien actually mentions that, which is, I can do what two people in love can't do, which is actually become the one soul that they want to become when they do join in marriage or relationships or whatever you want to call it. And such. So yeah, that
living in just one mind. Sorry.
So they do actually have that exposition. So yeah, when you said it, you were actually quoting the alien, which is kind of interesting.
So, that is not, I want to point out, because I am in any way an alien myself. I am a normal human who has resided on this planet for centuries, like all the rest of
us. We know that's a lie.
Likely story.
Yeah. Anything else that you want to add, Mike?
No, I'm good.
All right, that's fair. That's fair. All right, so I guess we can pretty much give our final thoughts on this film. But before we do, we have some free time here to talk about what we've been watching or and whatnot, genre stuff, things like that. So I guess I'll go first. So I saw Elf and The Santa Claus for the first time with the kids. They wanted to they heard something about Elf so from school mates, so they said, let's watch that. So I said, yeah, sure, why not? And I was not looking forward to it, but it was a great film.
It's hilarious.
Then, yeah, it's awesome.
Fantastic movie.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely fantastic. And then I said, oh, I heard Tim Allen, who plays Buzz Lightyear, and they like that movie.
And Tim Allen in your Apple Music library. You can ask me to play the radio.
Now Phil's whole feed is going to be filled up with Tim Allen.
Series opening tonight.
I have no idea what series going. But either way, I said I hadn't seen the Santa Claus yet either. And I said, oh, you know, Elf was pretty
another
awesome.
Good one.
So yeah, so I said, hey, let's watch that one. And kids
I had
did,
just gotten out of college and was working in a movie theater when that came out.
Yeah, and it's crazy how old that film is. Like, crazy. And that was
a good one, too.
How
old
we are, Phil.
Definitely Tim Allen in his heyday.
Yeah, that's for sure. Oh. And, yeah, so that was a great film. So I watched that. And then I watched three movies besides the movie we discussed tonight this week. I watched, or I should say rewatched, the original Poseidon Adventure. And because it's a great film. It's awesome. I love that film. And
I'll be honest, Phil, Eric, that is one that's always on my my list for a possible cinema a la carte. Just saying.
That's a great
one. I love Poseidon. The original Poseidon Adventure.
Yeah. Yeah, with Ernest Borgnine. Yeah. Yeah, that's a great film.
Great film.
And then I watched The Tower Inferno, which is by the same.
Ooh, another good one.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That is a very long movie.
Sure,
it's like for the first time not so long ago.
Yeah, when you say boring, now there's the one where you might want to.
And yet, it wasn't really that boring either. It really wasn't. I mean, the Fred Astaire story part was probably the weakest part of the film, but otherwise, it was pretty solid film. Was
O.J. Simpson in that one?
Yeah, O.J. Simpson was on that one too. Yeah.
Whatever and happened to him?
Well, it's not funny. It's not funny. And then I rewatched Death Wish with the late great Charles Bronson. Yep, pretty awesome. So those
isn't Jeff Goldblum in that one?
He sure is. Yeah, he's one of the rapists. He's actually the one that does the rape. As a matter of fact, yeah. Out of the three villains, he's the one that's the worst. But yeah, that was a great film too. So those I watched those three films, and then I have been playing Cyberpunk 2077. As I continue doing that, which is a great video game, and reading a book or beginning to read a book that Barrett, I know you're reading as well, and we'll be doing an episode on that book soon enough. Where we'll be talking to the author. And
you finished 11/22/63 yet?
No, I haven't. And that's pretty much it. So we'll go to you, Eric. What do you got?
Wait. What was the date on that book there, Eric?
It's the title of the book,
11/22/63. 11/22. And what was the date on that?
Copy that in 2011. And we were going to do an episode on it.
What was the date there, Phil, of the that horrible, horrible email or review that we had?
Well, you're right. 11/22. Holy shit!
Wow, there's
time traveler.
Synchronicity.
Yeah, that is just well done, Mike.
Maybe
well done.
If someone had finished reading that book, it would have been a good review.
Maybe. Well, I've just watched a few things on Shudder. I watched a couple of movies. One was called The Apology. I wouldn't call it a horror movie. I would call it a dark drama. It stars Anna Gunn, if you don't recognize the actress's name, she played Walter White's wife in Breaking Bad. And it's good, but it's not horror. So don't go in expecting horror, because that's not it. It's mainly two people in a room talking. So if that's your thing, check it out. If it's not, don't. And then I watched also on Shudder, Christmas Bloody Christmas, which is done by the same guy that did, VFW, which everybody loved except for me. And I think I'm kind of like in the same boat on this one. People are going crazy about this movie and I don't get it.
What is this film?
It's the basic plot summary is,
the name of it.
Robot Santa Goes on a Rampage.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's lots of violence. And there's lots of screaming and lots of swearing.
Futurama did it.
And neon stuff, because that's what that dude likes to do. And, you know, I thought it was okay. But a lot of people are a lot more excited about the movie than I am. So you're
is that on, like, Shudder or something?
It is on Shudder, yes.
Mr. Okay. The Mandy guy?
The VFW guy.
A VFW guy, okay.
Oh, speaking of that, we have the Black Rainbow. That's another Patreon we got to do, yeah.
So that's what I'm.
You don't need to watch that movie.
Anything else, Eric? Anything else, Eric?
No.
All right. I did forget the big one I saw. I went to Friday night to see Avatar: The Way of Water with my two kiddos. We had seen.
Did they make it through the movie?
They sure did. Yeah, they sure did. Yeah, I'll tell you one thing. My youngest, she passed out immediately when we got home. Now I'll tell you that. it was pretty late, but yeah, that was a pretty solid film. It was really good. High recommend. It's deserving of the praise it's getting from both critics and audiences. It didn't break what they thought it was going to do on the first weekend, but they say it has a lot of legs to last, and I think it will. It's a movie spectacular to see on the big screen, whether it's a good movie or not, but it is a good movie. So if you do see it, I recommend to see it on the big screen with the 3D and all that other stuff. And it is a worthy successor to the original, and I think it could be another franchise. I know, well, they're trying to make it a franchise anyway, because there's supposed to be three more movies, but I think it's legitimately a franchise of films. I would recommend everybody to check it out. So I think Disney, since they own Fox, has another good thing going with this world, I guess, universe, or whatever they call it. All right.
So Disney has a vested interest in this franchise doing well, seeing how they built a theme park around it.
Right.
There you go. Yeah. I think it'll pay off because the movie will have its fans. Let's go view Mike.
Like I said, literally, got the flu at the end of the last podcast. I don't know how the two were connected. So I haven't been doing a lot except sleeping, somehow like just being barely well enough to go catch a, Darlene Love, concert, which again, look up Darlene Love if you don't know Darlene Love. She actually did a lot of uncredited vocal appearances in the 60s, because she was just one of the people in Phil Spector's stable and, she wasn't a big name, so they had her record a song and then credited to other people. But anyhow, speaking of, by the way, celebrities who turned homicidal, Phil Spector was another one. But yeah, other than that, I was watching because I'd already seen it before and I didn't have to pay attention to it. Rewatching the Peacemaker TV series from the beginning of the year. And yeah, it's still a pretty awesome show. It is ridiculous and over the top and funny and violent and a little bit sexy and, still a high recommend. I recommend it at the beginning of the year. I'm recommending it again at the end of the year. It's still available on HBO Max. Get it before HBO Max decides it's going to put that in storage like it has Westworld and God knows how many other things.
What is this show again, or movie, Mike?
Peacemaker.
That's the one with Taylor Swift, sexy ass.
Yes.
Okay, I gotta see that still. Yeah, so I better watch it then. Yeah, great.
Yeah,
Taylor Swift, she's the best. Anyway, continue, Mike.
So yeah, and that, like I said, that was about it, because I have not really been able to watch much. I finished, more or less finished playing the main game of Far Cry 6, and I'm going to be putting that away so I can do my end of the year wrap up of the 3,000 films I haven't watched this year.
Gotcha. And I got to thank Barrett for bringing my attention to the Peacemaker, so I'll have to definitely start watching that, Barrett.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. All right. So let's go with you, Barrett.
Speaking of Barrett. So let's see. We went to see Wakanda Forever last Friday. I enjoyed it. It was definitely better than the Thor movie that came out earlier this year. And then recently, a new show called The Recruit came out on Netflix, and we devoured that show in like 2 days. It's really, really good. It's a spy thriller type of show. It's got some good humor in it as well. And I am also reading the book that Phil talked about, trying to work my way through that for our interview in January. So that's pretty much it. Oh, and I'm still playing Marvel's Midnight Suns, which is a huge game and a ton of fun as well.
Excellent. All right, and that's on what, Xbox or something, or PlayStation?
You can get it on anything.
You do Steam, right?
Yeah, I did it on Steam, hoping I could play it on my Steam Deck, but it's not working on the Steam Deck yet. So
what's a Steam Deck? I'm not familiar with that.
It's a small gaming machine that connects me to my Steam catalog, and I can play the games on it. It's kind of the size of a Nintendo Switch.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah. Very well. All right, so we can probably get into our final thoughts on this film, but before we do, Eric, you actually do another podcast with your buddy Dan.
I do. It's a general interest podcast called the Askancity Podcast. That's spelled Askancity. You can find it wherever you get podcasts.
All right, sounds good. And Mike, we just released, by the time people hear this, not only Kiss Kiss Bang Bang episode, but also Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, which comes out on Christmas Day. What podcast is that? And me, you, and Eric are about to restart doing in January.
Hypothetically, that is Cinema a la Carte. And by the way, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, totally a Christmas movie.
It is. It is.
So, perfect timing. A year later. The only thing swift about it was the birthday. But anyway.
That's true.
So Cinema a la Carte is a podcast where you and Eric and I just discuss a non-horror film of our choosing. We take turns. And Kiss to Kiss Bang Bang is mine. Three Billboards was yours. Eric's last one, I keep forgetting, it was not The Edge. It was a movie that was other than The Edge.
It was The Game.
The Game. That was The Game. So that one's coming out sometime in the next 12 months, too.
Indeed. All right, very well. And Barrett, myself and you and rotating co-hosts, a couple episodes have just been released, including that Werewolf by Night, and just this past week, Behemoth was released, and another one is coming out on New Year's Day. What podcast is that we're releasing a bunch of the back catalog and are going to start redoing and start it up again in January with our book episode?
Halloween Boutique Psychotronic Reviews. Yeah, we'll be starting that book episode, starting the year out with that book episode, and as you said, you've released a couple of episodes recently.
Cyberpunk Edgerunners as well?
Yep, Cyberpunk Edgerunners and Behemoth. And, yeah, and I don't know what the next one – did you say what that was going to be?
Not sure yet. It's coming out on January 1st. I got to start editing that next week, whichever one it is. So start looking out for that as well. All right, so that's pretty much the podcast updates. With that, let's go into our final thoughts on this film here, Significant Other. So let's start with you, Eric.
I thought the movie was fine. The actors were fine. It just wasn't my bag of tea. Wait, that's not a saying. Yeah, but you know what I mean. It was fine. I was very neutral on it. So I would neither recommend it nor steer people away from it. It just exists.
Right, right. And you didn't feel you wasted your time.
I'm still upset that I had to sign up for a service I didn't want because I was bullied by Phil.
Well, now you have a whole new catalog of stuff to look through. Anyway.
A little bit of rancor there.
It's all your boner's fault.
So, for me, yeah, so this film, like I said, it was two different films. I felt the first half was really awesome. And then the second half was, pretty good too. Because it was, like I said, it was kind of two films in one, because the second half is like Midnight Madness, Grindhouse craziness type stuff. And the first half was more of a drama type stuff. As we discussed a lot about that in the first 45 minutes, even before the spoiler alert was thrown out. So yeah, I liked it a lot. It could fall somewhere in my top 10. Still not sure yet. Cause as Barrett mentioned, this is pretty, but you too, Eric, is pretty strong year for horror films. And I have a pretty good list of films as it is. So, I'm not sure, but all in all, it was a good film. Anytime there's aliens, as the horror monster, even if it isn't really Grays, is always awesome. For some reason, I can get on board with that type of stuff over Supernatural, more so, than, but though, Cluster B serial killer type stuff is probably the ones I work with the best. But all in all, this is a good film and I would recommend it. Let's go, Hugh Barrett.
Yeah, I enjoyed the film. Again, it probably won't be in my top 10. I'll have to see where things fall, but there are a lot of movies that already have those positions that I would say this is not going to beat. It was a fun film. I enjoyed it, and it's worth watching.
All right, and let's go to you, Mr. Mike.
I mean, to me, this has a feel. I liked it enough. Everyone knows, well, maybe not, you know, because you might have just listened to the podcast. I'm a monster guy. I like movies with monsters. This had a monster, but we never really see the monster, so I was a little disappointed in that. And the monster was awfully similar to that we saw was awfully similar to the T-1000, which was a little disappointing. But that's a minor nitpick. It is a movie that moves well enough. It's a short enough film. It doesn't overstay its welcome. If this is on my top 20 list, it's probably going to be one of those things that is used to round the list out. I don't know that it's going to be. It's not anywhere near a, oh, my God, have you seen this movie? It's awesome kind of thing. And not every movie needs to be able to do that. Sometimes it's just good enough for a movie to be, you know, competent. And at the very least, it is that. I think it has some interesting things to say, interesting things to comment on. A bit about human nature, about behavioral health individuals, about relationships, sharks. But let's be honest, the whole bear lobby paid them well to keep them off the agenda. But other than that, I think it was good. I liked it. Not brilliant, but I liked it.
All right, sounds good. So once again, the film is called Significant Other, 2022 film, sci-fi horror film. Didn't mention, the people, but Eric did in passing say it was two people. The directors and screenwriters, the same people, are Dan Burke and Robert Olson, produced by Dan Kagan, starring Micah Monroe and Jake Lacey. And the film is 84 minutes, came out October 7th, 2022 by Paramount Players, and is a direct release on the Paramount Plus network, which is, I believe, the only place you can see the film and not even be able to rent it. So it's like an exclusive. If you're interested in the film, the topics, the type of stuff we discussed, then please check it out. And with all that stated, Eric, why don't you lead us out?
All right. Thanks for tuning in and listening to us talk about Significant Other. Till next week, remember, stay away from Phil's boner. It'll ruin your life.